Good evening. It's 6:30, May 9th. This is the Akron Metropolitan Area Transportation Studies Citizen Involvement Committee. Before we continue, let's go around the room, just introduce ourselves. We'll start with the people that are in attendance.
Fred Wise, sort of a bike advocacy member.
Major William Mackey, retired. I am here because companies I work for use trucking a lot, so I'm very interested in truck capacities. But I drive too, so cars.
Do you ride a bike?
No, because my knees are artificial. The doc said no more bike riding.
What's artificial? Your knees?
Yeah,
that should be. You might be able to ride a recumbent.
She said get a recumbent or a three-wheeler. Yeah.
Sharon Abraham, Akron Bicycle Club. I had an interest in helping out the club with advocacy, so that's why I'm here.
Great.
Ron Brubaker, Trail Advocates of Summit County. Bicycles.
Bill CP, also with Task Group, and I'm also a member of the Akron Bike Club.
Great. And now we'll introduce AMAT staff that are here.
David Foulet, staff engineer.
Jeff Gardner, AMAT's planner.
And Daryl Kleinhans, AMAT's planner. So what we usually do at this point is we just kind of go through the agenda items that were presented this afternoon at our technical advisory committee meeting, and again that will be presented next Thursday at our policy committee meeting. Some of the things that were presented today, one of the things we will present tonight at this meeting is the preservation needs report. Jeff will be presenting that. We talked about the ozone and fine particle standards at this meeting. We added three projects to our TIP, which included State Route 59 in Kent, US 224 in Akron was a resurf. Both of those were resurfacing jobs, as well as Interchange 76 in Fort Chicago. Dave, do you have any information on those?
Say that we didn't actually add the whole, I mean, we added the projects, but the projects, the two resurfacing projects are ODOT projects, and we added $150,000 to each project for curb ramps and sub-base repair. But the bulk of the money for those projects is from the state, from ODOT. We just added our federal money for those repairs, the sub-base repairs and the curb ramps. So that's the reason we had to add them, because anything that has federal money has to be in our TIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We encourage all of you to come to those meetings. I mean, you can certainly sit in to listen to that one.
To listen to through to those meetings.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Hey.
Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe leave it open.
So we encourage you to do that. We talked about our work program as well, and let's see, our certification of urban transportation planning process. We have two more people that entered the room, and since we're recording this, if you could introduce yourselves, that'd be great.
Hi, I'm Denise Bava, and I'm the community outreach liaison for Portage Area Regional Transit.
Joel?
Joel Helms, just a citizen.
Okay. So we talked about the agenda of what our technical advisory committee listened to this afternoon and what our policy committee will be listening to next Thursday. On our agenda tonight, we're going to move around just a little bit, and we do have something that will be added to our agenda. We have a presentation from Ron and Bill that from the Trail Advocates of Summit County. And in moving around again on the agenda, since I have the floor at this moment, I'm going to go ahead and talk about Bike Month, which is something that I work with and do a lot of work for in regards to biking and alternative transportation for AMATs. So as if you don't know, May is Bike Month, and there is a flyer on the back table here that you can feel free to take. But we produced this flyer in regards to Bike Month. We have on the flyer, we have Bike Week, which is May 13th through the 17th. Bike to Work Day is next Friday, the 17th. And then we have some bike events that we're involved with, two of those being Safe Routes to School with Akron Public Schools. We sit on that committee and go ahead. They go ahead and they schedule 2 days at two different schools where they encourage students to walk and roll. That's taking place next week and the following week at Barber CLC and Innis CLC here in Akron. We also encourage everybody to register for June's Great Cycle Challenge. And, of course, the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad offers Bike Aboard, which we encourage you to go on their website and take advantage of that. AMATS also participates and encourages the communities that we service to take part in what we have named Bike and Brainstorms. Last year we did 4 Bike and Brainstorms. This year right now we have 2 that are confirmed. Again, those flyers are on the back table. The 2 confirmed are June 1st in Hudson. There's a map back there of the route that we're going to be taking. I believe it starts at 8 or 9 o'clock. It is a Saturday. And then we have another one June 15th here in Akron. That'll be in West Akron, starting from the American Red Cross building. That one does start at 8 o'clock. And that is a Saturday, June 15th. So we're hoping to get a couple more from some of the communities that we service. Bike and Brainstorms are really a public engagement where you ride your bike through a route, and then we come back to either the start point or a certain point, and we discuss what we found out or what you experienced on that ride. Additionally, we also partake in Better Blocks. There's been a number of them here in Akron. There is another one here in Akron on Copley Road, and that is May 24th through the 25th. So, the last thing I want to mention is this past weekend, AMATS coordinates Jane's Walks. Last year we had quite a bit, this year not so many. Only because I think nationally some of the funding has decreased. But we are going to continue with these Jane's Walk, which is always the first weekend in May. This year we had 3. We had one in Kent, which was a music history through downtown Kent from Jason Prufer. And then there was a walk here in Akron, downtown Akron, which actually we did separately on a different day, which was a walk that discussed the construction, all the construction that's going on downtown here in Akron. So, and then there was a 3rd one in West Akron, more of a neighborhood community walk. But next year we hope to get more and continue to advocate for Jane's Walks and getting people out to walk in their neighborhood or in downtowns or in their communities. So with that, we now are going to go to our preservation needs report, and I believe Jeff Gardner is going to go ahead and present.
Okay, as part of the planning process, AMATS has to do 2 major planning documents. One is the 4-year TIP, which is a program of all the projects in the area that are funded, scheduled to be funded for 4 years, and we also do a long-range 20-year horizon plan called our Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook. So we're looking at transportation needs out through the year 2045. So to that end, we have produced a highway preservation needs report. The full report is available in the packet at the door there. The purpose is to determine the cost and needs and to maintaining the existing highway system between now and 2040. This is a little profile of the existing roadway mileages in the area. AMATS is responsible for programming all the major roads in the area, but not the minor collectors or the local residential roads. So, of course, amongst all that roadway mileage there, ODOT takes the lead, or the Ohio Turnpike Commission takes the lead on the first three that you see there.
Question.
Yes, sir.
That email I sent out, you have the turnpike listed as a federal resource, i.e., and but the turnpike gets its own money through tolls. So is that an information only, or do we have to approve anything when they do something?
We don't approve anything
right.
for the turnpike.
So why do we have the turnpike on there if it's its own entity and sort of?
Well, we still track it. It's still in the area.
Okay.
So, we're
all right. So that's information only.
It.
Okay.
It's part of the system, so we include it as part of the
right.
Analysis. So in order to determine the cost and the needs for the area, we have to determine the state of the system. So one way to do that is to take a look at the pavement condition ratings for all those roadways from the previous slide, except for the minor collectors and local roads. And then we average that out in the AMATS area from 2016 to 2018, and consider that the current status of the pavement in the area. So over that several-year period, the state routes did improve slightly, and the non-state routes improved 3.52 points. In the report is a pavement condition rating for each community, so you can feel free to page to your community there and look at the list of roadways in your area to look at the pavement condition ratings for those roadways. We also took a look at bridges.
Question, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible to express that as a percent? I mean, 1.95 doesn't, I don't know what that means. Is that a
point? So, I'm sorry. So, pavement condition, the pavement is rated. So, zero would probably be like a dirt road with big holes in it or something, and 100 would be the unseen, never seen, perfect, pristine, even brand new roadway, since it's not, you know, perfect. It would be a 100, but. You know, so from there, your pavement would degrade based on, you know, weather and wear and use and, you know, over time. So the pavement condition ratings are provided by ODOT to us. We don't rate the condition of the pavement ourselves. So ODOT provides us with that data. And the communities, of course, assess their own pavement condition ratings as well. So we try to put all that information together. And then we try to project that over time based on the conditions that ODOT also provides to us. So 2019 cost figures were provided by ODOT, for instance, or some of the other data, or the way to analyze the data is provided by ODOT. So with this is a little profile of the existing bridges in the area. A bridge under 20 feet would not be in here. That would be a culvert, right? Under 20 feet is considered a culvert, not an actual bridge. So this is a profile of the bridges in the area. There's, of course, there's more discussion in the full report. So there is a listing of the four bridges in the area. Only 41 of the 947 bridges have a poor rating. Two of those are completely closed. I believe they just announced one today in the paper that they closed the Cungle Road in Norton, the bridge over, what was it there in Norton? It was in the paper today. So that's closed off. They had detours set for that.
Okay. I'm thinking another bridge that's probably not in this report is the one that was just most recently closed on Cleveland-Maslin Road in Norton. That was... that took everyone by surprise because they went out to do some minor repairs and started to jackhammer and it came apart. So there's two that we knew of, or two that we knew about when we did the report, and then now there's probably, what, two additional ones?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So since we're doing a long-range plan out to the year 2045, we're just trying to get an overall view of the cost for maintaining the existing system in the area through 2045. So if a bridge, unfortunately, would be declared, you know, unusable, obviously they're going to work on that, et cetera. But the purpose of the report is to just get us a basic idea of the state and the cost of maintaining the system. So, you know, one bridge here or there is not really what the report's about, although we try to get a comprehensive listing of the needs for the area. Of course, those things are going to change 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years from now. The mix that you're going to see on these lists would, of course, change. So in order to figure out what our highway preservation costs would be, we had to look at the roadway preservation through resurfacing and the replacement. So resurfacing, of course, is just the top layer. Replacement would be the base and other attributes on the road. So we had to try to work up some costs to maintain the roadways, and then, of course, the cost to maintain the bridges. So there's painting, deck overlay, deck replacement, superstructure replacement. So, of course, the more serious it is, the less often you do those things. Roads get paved more frequently than they get restructured or reconstructed. For roadway preservation, the average resurfacing for your average roadway would be twice between now and 2045. Pavement replacement was assumed to be 5% of all roadways between now and 2045. As I mentioned before, minor collectors and local roads are not eligible for federal funding, so we didn't include them in part of the analysis. The costs were estimated based on lane miles, so not just the length of the bridge. You have to get the whole square foot of the bridge. Some are wire, some are narrow. And cost estimates, as I mentioned before, were provided by ODOT in constant dollars, so that we're looking at the cost. Of course, they're going to be inflated, but we're going to redo this report every 4 years, so the report's getting constantly updated, and the long-range plan gets constantly updated every 4 years on the cycle. So here are our pavement resurfacing costs. So we're going to go through a number of costs, and at the end we're going to add them all up. And just for resurfacing, for the roadways in the major roadways in the AMATS area, as you see there, it comes to a total of $1.2 billion over 20 plus years. AMATS is not responsible for all of that. So for the interstates and the expressways, ODOT would pay for that. The bulk of this money comes from the federal government through the Highway Trust Fund, through the USDOT. Turnpike, of course, has their own commission that's paid for with the tolls. And then you see the principal and minor arterials, and then the major collectors. So the bulk of those would be scheduled through programs through AMATS, TIP. So those projects will appear in the TIP as the TIP gets updated every 2 years or amended with additional projects. All these resurfacing projects, if in order to maintain the system, would then eventually appear in the TIP as program projects, generally with the community in which they exist being the project sponsor. So if you live in Akron would be in charge of that project. If you live in the city of Ravenna, they would manage that project. And then to replace pavement, we go through the same thing here. Since it happens less frequently, although it is more expensive, we end up with a grand total here of $163 million. Cost, as we mentioned before, are based on cost estimates that ODOT provides. For bridge preservation, We use attributes that are provided to us by ODOT and using process that's averaged over the life of the plan. You'll see that bridges generally are not replaced as often, obviously, as asphalt for resurfacing. You're using essentially square footage again, as you would for roadway or lane miles.
I see on the list of poor bridges, some of them are railroads. Does that mean it's a bridge for the railroad or a bridge for a road or over a road?
A public bridge over the railroad. Yes.
So that this doesn't include railroad bridge.
No. That would be privately owned right-of-way and it would not be eligible for federal funding.
Yeah, it's not a bridge that probably a bridge that carries a road over a railroad.
Got it. Thank you.
Does that make a difference in the cost? Why would you separate that from a regular road? A regular bridge goes over a river. Or something?
Well, I don't think it doesn't make any difference with cost. No,
Funding source.
Yeah, it's just listed as a references a railroad in its name, and it makes it sound like belongs to the railroad, but it's a bridge that carries a road over.
But the railroad has no responsibility for maintaining.
No, they don't.
The issue is because the bridge would have to deal with private property, so the railroads are private property. So there are scheduling issues or conflicts that have to be worked out with the railroads.
Okay.
Or in the case of a railroad, and this is not as related, but you know, on 82, they have a problem there. They want to widen 82, but there's the railroad bridge there that would cost a fortune to. No one wants to pay for that, and the railroad's not going to pay for it. But it's the railroad's bridge. So there's these negotiations that have to take place with the railroad.
Difficult.
Yes.
I got a question for the technical advisory committee. The superstructure replacement, you're saying 8 years, and that's steel, correct? Steel buried in concrete?
Superstructure is a term that means the whole bridge.
Right, you're going to take it down to the ground and build it all.
Yeah, the whole bridge.
What if instead of steel, you use titanium, which is rust-proof? Costs more than steel, but it's stronger than steel, and it doesn't rust. Has the TAC ever considered upgrading the ability to make a bridge that'll last more than 80 years? Is it within the purview of this group? Should ODOT be doing it?
There's a ton of research going on over new types of bridge decks, lightweight bridge decks that kind of reduce the amount of framework that's needed to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of research going on. I mean, all the colleges are probably doing research on pavements and on bridges. It's pretty amazing to me that we're not seeing more progress than we are, because there's a whole lot more research than you realize. Mm. I think that what is holding it back is, first of all, costs is holding it back, and getting these new materials and these new methods approved by DOT.
Federal DOT.
What's that?
Federal DOT or ODOT?
Probably federal, because...
they write the specification.
Yeah, because probably federal, because if you're doing anything on an interstate highway or a federal highway...
They're paying for it. Yeah. Federal funds, yeah. So you have to... Yeah. They're all the regulated, you know, Department of Labor, EPA, it's all federal. With regulations. With any project that uses federal funds, you have civil rights regulations, EPA regulations, and those are all federal guidance. Mm-hmm. So you have to meet all that federal guidance.
Maybe we should have a speaker at our annual banquet talk about bridge preservation and new methods coming down the line so they last longer than
what we
have
now.
I think there's some new things we're starting to see, because I have noticed that they will put a new deck on a bridge. I mean, a new, not a whole new deck, but just the wearing surface. They have this process called hydroblasting, where they actually take water that's a crazy high PSI. It's called hydroblasting. Instead of jackhammering, they use that method to loosen up all the bad material on the deck, and then shortly after they do that, they put a new deck layer on it. And it used to be in the old days, it was at least 7 days, maybe even longer, before you could open that to traffic. And now I see repairs being made where these bridges are open to traffic. They start on it Friday night and it's open for traffic Monday morning. So I think there are new things out there that is being used.
Don't we inspect bridges, or doesn't Ohio inspect bridges visually?
Yeah, we inspect. Bridges are inspected every year.
Maybe we should add a jackhammer, like they found this one out in Norton. Add that to their checklist, to bring a little jackhammer and jackhammer their way every 20 feet across
the
bridge.
Well, it's funny you say that, because back in the old days when I was out in the field on some of these projects, one of the most commonly used methods to determine how sound the concrete was simply tapping a hammer on it. Concrete that is like internally loose, mm-hmm. that is internally mm-hmm. coming apart, the sound is different. You can really hear the difference in the sound. It has more of a hollow sound, and concrete that's in good shape yet has more. It sounds solid.
It resonates.
Yeah, it's just a really simple. It's a simple thing, but it is still used and it's still very reliable to find. Now I'm sure there's high tech methods. There's probably the X-raying, the infrared stuff, but just using a hammer is still a very reliable method to see
how we should talk to the University of Akron engineering. I'm sure they have a deserving graduate student. You could develop a machine that taps a hammer every so long, mm-hmm. and an acoustic sensor that would pick that up, and then a program that would listen and know the difference between good cement and poor cement, and you go across the bridge a lot faster with a wheel system rather than walking along.
Yeah,
and tapping.
More scientific instead of just
more scientific.
Judgment,
you have
subjective.
Yeah, definite. Yeah, rather than somebody train yours, you have a scientific algorithm to go with.
There probably are these more advanced techniques out there. I just
I don't know. Governments aren't very nimble sometimes, like business.
No, because
that's why we're here, to say maybe the government could do something.
Mm-hmm. The technical aspects are fascinating. What AMATS is trying to do is, you know, since we program projects,
right.
schedule them and fund
right.
them. Some of the scientific analysis is a little normally out of our purview a little bit, but it's fascinating, and it would be nice to have a speaker to, you know, talk about some of this. Forging ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, is there a question? Forging ahead. Bridge preservation. So here's a little profile of what our bridges look like in Portage County, Summit County, and in the Chippewa and Milton Township areas of Wayne County. So our cost estimates are based on bridge deck area. So there's our total for bridge deck area. And that is square foot.
Yes.
Square foot.
Yes.
And here are the costs to maintain those bridges. So the cheaper things, going to the more expensive things, which obviously get done less often than the cheaper things get done. So to preserve the bridges, the existing bridges, not any new bridges, not any expanded or widened bridges, comes to almost $2.4 billion over the next 20 plus years. So
very expensive to maintain these. So the total estimated cost for preserving the highway system between now and 2045 is approximately $3.78 billion. The cost estimates have gone up since the last time that we did this report 4 years ago. For pavement resurfacing, $1.25 billion. Pavement replacement, $160 million. Bridge preservation, $2.37 billion. You saw that on the previous slide. These needs will be used to develop our long-range plan through 2045. And when the full 2045 plan is put together, we will have to look at all the costs, and we will have to forecast the amount of money that we think will be available over that time. And it's a very close-run thing to try to do a budget. We want to, obviously, our number one priority is to preserve the system, preserve the existing system. So we don't want to get into widening a road unless that funding is available. Preservation is the number one purpose of what AMS wants to do in the area. So, yes, sir.
And this is being done in every county or township across the whole state?
Every metropolitan. We're a metropolitan planning organization. There are 17 in the state of Ohio. Outside those metropolitan organizations, ODOT takes more of a leading role. Sometimes the county engineer, depends on the county. But in the Youngstown area, they have two counties, Trumbull and Mahoney. That MPO is called Eastgate. Stark County is just Stark County. Cleveland has NOAACA. If you're familiar with NOAACA, that is five counties. So there are 17 of those MPOs. Cincinnati, they actually go beyond, and they cover a county in Indiana and a county in Kentucky. So that's OKI, Ohio, Kentucky. So that's a larger metropolitan planning organization. So every one of those agencies across the country, like ours, has to do planning like this. Additional questions?
Yeah, I have one. What's your confidence in that number, that 3.something billion? What's your accurate, your range of probability that that's really what you would come close to?
Well, it's a little loose.
It's being two or three times so different or not?
Well, the problem, the issue is that we have two plans. We have the shorter range TIP. That actually matches up the funding with the projects. Those projects are actually in the pipeline, so that the funding is committed and the community or whoever the sponsor is committed to do that project. They have the legislation through their city council or through the Ohio legislature for that funding, and then for the effort to make that project go forward. We have to do a longer range plan, a 20 plus year horizon plan, so that the projects that end up in the TIP are actually part of a greater plan that has priorities set. And it is financially constrained, but trying to forecast out finances or preservation costs out that far is problematic. So that's why our 20-year plan gets updated every 4 years, and that's why the 4-year TIP gets updated every 2 years. So you're rolling over 2 years into the next TIP. So when we redo this again, we're not redoing this in 2045. It doesn't go that long. We're redoing this 4 years from now. So that's how you work out those problems of trying to estimate costs 20 plus years out in the future.
Do you ever do any comparison to historical stuff, like taking it 4 years ago and comparing what you think happened?
So the plan that AMATS did in 1970 for the year 2000 had Akron projected to have 325,000 people. So Akron right now has what, like 196 or something?
It's under 200,000 now.
So when they did the forecasting in 1970, all the tire plants were still open. So they just anticipated that Akron would just keep expanding, the tire factories would just get bigger and bigger, and that Akron at the time had 275,000 people, so they just forecasted out an extra 50,000 people. So they thought Akron would have 325,000 people by 2000.
I think at one point in the 60s, I saw a projection where Akron's population was
was going to be close to 700,000 in the early 60s when AMATS was first conceived. So so you have all these other factors, you know, that the
speaking of conception, you know, birth rate declined considerably from the 60s through the 70s.
With all of that undecided stuff, how you're using this 3.8, whatever the billions number was, you're using that and you're saying you're going to post that against what your estimated revenues are.
Correct.
So basically you're saying we're going to try and, you know, make our tax structure fit that we're going to somehow get all these revenues in. But if you don't know really...
Well, the financial estimates are done independently of these costs. We don't try to come up with something to match this.
It's what we can take down to your representative and DeWine and say, look, this is what's coming down the road. You got to have the money on hand to do this. If you don't increase the gas tax or do something else, bridges will fall apart. So what do you want to do?
But if you use that and it's a fairly low number, you screw yourself down the road.
True.
So
yeah,
if you don't have to make it too high, they're going to ignore your money now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why we do it every 4 years. But to do the financial forecast, which we haven't done yet, that's the next step after this. So we take the current funding or factor in some inflation or what the trends are for federal funding for transportation. Ohio just passed an increased gas tax, so that would go into it, even though we haven't collected anything from it yet. So that would get forecasted out to 2045. So then we have all these projects. Preservation is the number one priority, so preservation would eat up the vast amount of that forecasted financial funding for the future, and that always happens. So there's, at this point, the way the planning is done, it's different than it was done 30 or 40 years ago when AMATS first started 50 years ago. They're not these grand plans of we're going to build another highway. You know, they were finishing up the highway system in the, well, around here, they're still working on little bits and pieces here and there, but essentially the national highway system is But back when they first were doing planning, it was not complete, so there was going to be a freeway, you know, the Kenmore Lake of 76 was going to keep going south all the way to, like, Manchester or something. That, you know, they were going to, what was another?
Well, the biggest, the best example of that is the Interbelt. The Interbelt was going to go all the way over to Kent,
right,
and maybe even beyond as a freeway, and of course we... Yeah, and of course it never reached any further than Perkins Street. But I mean, we have in our office, we actually have the drawings, the sketches that show it going all the way to Kent, and then maybe even beyond. Maybe I can't remember, but that's probably one of the most popular examples, I think. And now we even took some of that out, so. Yeah, it's just, I think what happened was, it was talk was easier than the ability to make some of these things happen. But I really wish, I think if the Interbelt could have at least tied into Route 8, it would have helped a lot, but it just, that's all further it got. And it took a long time to tie it in on the south end to the 76, 77 on the south end. In fact, when I first, I worked on that project, tying it in with those bridges. But that took forever to get that last piece done. So,
I guess the thing that bothers me, not bothers me, but I see as the biggest problem is that you're forecasting 20 years out. Your financial, your legislators, the people doing, getting the revenues for you, aren't looking more than a year ahead. And that difference in the amount that you're looking forward to just makes this such a wide area of uncertainty.
Absolutely.
It's a tough job for me. One question I have. In your table on the average PCR by community, you've got some numbers in red. Is that significant?
Those are below, the red ones are below 60.
Below, yeah, but you've got some in here that are at this, about the same number that aren't in red. You've got one at 4.91 in Barberton, But Akron at 1.56 is in black.
Hi.
Oh, okay, the PCR from six, if it's in red, it means the PCR from 2016 to 2018
dropped.
Okay. The red indicates it
they've improved.
It was a negative value.
Okay. Understand that.
Like I'm looking at Aurora. Aurora went from 88.57 to 81.68, so it actually dropped nearly 7 points. That's what red indicates.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. And Dave, for all your insights. So, as I mentioned in the beginning, we do have an extra item. After we had set the agenda, Ron Brubaker had contacted us and wanted to make a presentation in regards, and very similar to like a Rails to Trails idea in regards to the Akron Secondary Line and the Veterans Trail in Hudson. So with that, I'm going to introduce Ron Brubaker and Bill Seepy. Ron and Bill are long-time residents of Hudson. Ron worked a long time at Goodyear, and Bill at Sherwin-Williams.
Good. Can you say Sherman?
Yeah.
No, right. I always catch that.
But and so they're here to discuss that. So I'll turn it over to you, Ron.
Projector went off and this closed.
I think when we plug it back in, she comes back on.
Bill and Ron have started or are starting Trail Advocates of Summit County.
Oh.
Right. TASC?
Calling ourselves TASC. We just came up with this name less than a week ago, so we'll see how it works, and we're ready to change it if we need to. But who are we? I'm Ron Brubaker, 36 years in Hudson, worked hired from Goodyear. I was an IT project manager. Did a lot of things before that, but I ended up as an IT project manager. And Bill, talk about...
I was actually Ron's neighbor. We lived across the street from each other for 29 years. I moved to Stowe at the end of 2016. Retired from Sherwin-Williams after 25 years as director of engineering. Prior to that, I was with Cochin. Engineering manager at the Coyote Falls facility.
And as Bill likes to joke, we're just a couple of retired engineers looking for a good project to work on. And this seems like it to us. So what do we have in common? Longtime friends and neighbors, share a love of bicycling, bicycle a lot on the Summit County trails, good trails, enjoy those. Since March, we've taken an interest in promoting the secondary line as a bike and hike trail. It's also known as the Veterans Trail. We've undertaken this as a retirement project in order to give back to our community. We're not trying to get rich on it.
Now, this Akron Secondary Line Veterans Trail, I don't know, are you going to be going
more
detail
about
that?
Okay,
all right.
But we're not going to do this on our own. We intend to enlist the help and support of many other cyclists, runners, walkers, dog walkers, rollerbladers, any stakeholders that would be interested in that trail as this moves forward. Who have we been talking to? I won't go through all the names there, but you can see the organizations. We've talked to a lot of people in the city of Hudson. We've talked to Eric Oberg at the Rails to Trails Conservancy. He's the Midwest Regional Director for Trail Development. We've talked to Summit Metro Parks, a couple people there. We've talked to the city engineer and the city planner at the city of Stowe, and we've talked to Metro RTA. So what is the Akron secondary line? Here's Akron. Up there at the top is Hudson. This green line, this was actually taken from the AMATS Transportation Outlook for 2035. You have this identified as multi-purpose trails. They're numbered 16, 29, and 25. Going up, starting in Akron, going through Cuyahoga Falls, Silver Lake, Stowe, and Hudson. I found the two that that rail line was originally built in 1851. And up in Hudson, it connects to the Norfolk and Southern Railroad that goes from Pittsburgh to Cleveland. That's a heavily used railroad. This one, not so much. So what's the current condition of the right-of-way? I found on the internet that the last train that ran on these tracks was in 1996. That's 23 years ago.
And that information was substantiated yesterday. We had a meeting with some folks in the environmental design group, and one of the designers said that's about right.
I ran that as a kid, and he said that's about what drinks operating. We learned from Metro RTA that a significant amount of the rails and ties have been removed south of Broad Avenue in Cuyahoga Falls, so that's about half of it has a lot of the rails and ties removed. Going north from Broad Avenue, we've walked some sections of it. It's badly overgrown. I'll show you some pictures. Ties are rotted. Spikes are coming out. It would require a lot of repair.
Is this the line that crosses Graham Road just east of the Route 8?
Right, yes,
yeah, okay. It is. And south of that on Route 8, you can see bits and pieces of it through the fence over there.
Now, I thought, didn't Stowe just within the last couple weeks do something with?
They removed the crossing.
I thought they did.
Yeah, they're going to section of Graham is being resurfaced, and part of that resurfacing, I believe, is to remove that.
That's done.
That was actually being done as we met with Jim McCleary and Rob Kurtz at the city of Stowe. They were just actually wrapping up that project when we met with them. It was April 18th, I think.
So Graham Road's removed. Springdale has been paved over, and so has Macaulay. So there's three roads that no longer have a crossing. And bridges have not been maintained. Metro RTA would like us to explain that that's by maintained. They're talking about in operating condition for rail usage. But they have not been maintained, and tremendous investment would be required to reactivate this line. Why would this right away make an ideal trail instead of rail use? What about trail use? It connects five communities, Hudson, Stowe, Silver Lake, Cuyahoga Falls, and Akron, and provides a north-south, here it is on here. Again, here's Hudson, here's Akron. It's a north-south route right up through a densely populated area in the middle of the county.
Where's the southern terminus of it in Akron?
In Akron, it comes to the Freedom Trail, and then it would take you would follow the Freedom Trail the rest of the way into Akron, which means the Freedom Trail was following a railroad right away. They hit a constraint there where they couldn't keep building on that right away. They're going to route that up through the University of Akron and then down into downtown. So you'd be able to go from
anywhere along here into downtown Akron.
Last time I was out it last year, I think it kind of ended. I think it was right before Union Street.
Yeah, it's still that way.
Yep.
Because they hit that impasse, and I know it was going to come fairly close to our office building, and I was so looking forward to having it there, and then it still stops there.
They're at loggerheads with the railroad.
Yeah.
You heard what happened, right? They thought they bought that right away, but the railroad sold it to two people.
It's crazy.
The other people won, I think it was Conrail, and they said, nope, no trail on there. They didn't want to talk about it.
Actually, in our office, I've seen some, I just want to call these drafts or whatever of them tunneling that trail under Market Street, which I'm a little concerned about the safety there by where it comes in there by Haven Arrest. I was always a little concerned about safety there, but I've seen some different things now. I'm not sure which one of those you're going to go with. Probably just
tunnels are a great option. You know, there's a tunnel under 91, and there's a tunnel under Old Route 8.
They're a great option, but I don't know.
Compared to the
work too well next to a homeless shelter.
Yeah,
compared to the towpath trail.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
I don't think Metro Parks has come up with an answer of how they're going to get from where it's at now to downtown. Last time we had a meeting, I was talking with Curtis about that. He said that they hadn't come up with anything. So how long would it take them to get it done? Who knows?
You know, originally...
I think they have a plan.
They have a couple of...
Yeah, they had a plan. They had a plan 3 years ago that disappeared because they couldn't make it work. So.
The right-of-way, and the beauty of a rail right-of-way, it's off the roads and it's frequently away from the roads. I'll show you some pictures. It feels kind of secluded at times. It's level and has good drainage, and it's generally straight, which simplifies access compliance. The right-of-way goes along and crosses the Cuyahoga River, so it's in places it's really pretty. That bridge over the Cuyahoga River, I wish I had a picture of that. It's beautiful. Wow. Then it goes up through Silver Lake and it passes by the golf course at the Silver Lake Country Club. Going on further north in Hudson, it goes by a private lake and another golf course. And many of those sections are lined with trees and they're secluded back in there and quite scenic. So here are a couple of pictures. These were taken at O'Brien Cemetery. It's off of Hudson Drive in Hudson. I just went down to the trail and took a picture looking north. Way up there, you can see a little bit of the Terex Road Bridge going over the right-of-way. This is a tree farm. It has a nice big lake on it and trees planted all around. It's very pretty. When I took that, it was frozen, but it's a beautiful lake. Over here, looking south, you can see where the bike and hike trail goes over this trail on an old railroad bridge there. You've probably ridden it if you've been on that trail. That would be, so here's the veteran trail coming up to Hudson and going on out to Boston Heights. That would be this crossing right here. This bike and hike trail goes over the veteran trail.
In that top photo, are those power poles in the railroad?
No.
Right away?
You can hardly find the rail bed in here. I thought it was removed for... I visited this a couple times, but I couldn't find it at all. It's actually over here.
Oh.
And the stuff that's growing up in there is 15 feet tall. And you can't even find the rail in places because it's all grown over.
I can see, yeah, the rail.
Oh, here it is. Yeah,
it's pretty visible on that one.
Yeah. And those ties are so rotted that they all have to be redone to use it again. Another advantage of this right-of-way is that it provides so much connectivity. It connects to three existing regional trails. That would be this bike and hike trail here,
this bike and hike trail crossing just north of Silver Lake on Springdale Road, and it'll connect to the Freedom Trail here and go on into Akron, where it'll connect with the towpath. Up here, plus Hudson is planning to build this part through downtown. They're actually going to come over here on the west side of a golf course. This is Barlow Road right here. And that's where the trail switches. North of Barlow Road, it's owned by Norfolk and Southern. South, all the way down to Akron, is owned by Metro RTA. So Hudson's building a bike trail to Barlow Road and then a bike trail along Barlow Road. So it would be possible to ride up here or walk or run or whatever, take the trail along Barlow, get on here, and come on up into downtown Hudson. They're planning to extend it on out here to the edge of the city and hook up with a trail coming in from Boston Heights. Boston Heights is submitting funding request for that. Has submitted a funding request for that. So there's lots of connections. Here, 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 here. And I read in your transportation objectives that one of your objectives is to provide multi-purpose trails that are actually going to be used for transportation. I think this has a very good possibility of being used for transportation. You could ride, it's only 12 and a half miles, you could ride all the way down to the University of Akron, go to school, be there an hour, and ride home after if you were a strong bike rider.
I am, and I will tell you that my last few years of working in Sherwin-Williams, I used to ride my, take my bike to Station Bridge Road and commute via towpath and the bike and hike to downtown Cleveland. It was 18 miles one way, hour and 15 minutes, and it was a great way to commute to work and get off the roads.
You can do it right now just by going up the State Road, coming up the State Road, because they've got the bike lanes in there. You come all the way downtown here and you can do that in a real short time. And I'm not trying to discourage you from
putting
the roads in, but I do that now. I can make it in less than an hour.
No.
Not going down State Road.
So a little background on Veterans Trail. It has long been recognized as a unique opportunity, highly desirable opportunity for the bike and hike trail. Back in 2005, five communities, Hudson, Stowe, Silver Lake, Cuyahoga Falls and Akron, Summit Metro Parks, and the Ohio Erie Canalway funded a very thorough concept study for building this trail. The study was based on a trail sharing the right-of-way with continued rail service. So it was next to the rail with possibly in places some kind of fence or divider. And it required getting on private property in quite a few places and additional complexities for crossings of drainage ditches and creeks. That constraint added a lot of cost and complexity, and consequently it was never implemented. But in that study, I found they talked about building next to the railway. They estimated at $56 per lineal foot. That was in 2005. But they said if it was actually built on the rail bed, it would be 28, half the cost to build on the bed versus building beside the rail. Freedom Trail is rail where the trail decided, but that's because there was two rails there and they took one out and they left the other one in place. This trail, this railroad is a single lane rail. So there's no place to put it beside very easily. So who owns the right-of-way? Akron Secondary Line, north of Barlow. And that's up here in Hudson. North of Barlow. It's just this little piece here. I think it's like a mile. And it's pretty. It'd make a nice trail, but who knows what... We don't know what Norfolk Southern is planning. I'd love to know, but
We didn't have no information about their plans.
Is that portion open? Is that, do they run anything on there? That's close.
We haven't seen anything on it in a long time.
Oh, what's the condition of the roadbed, the trail?
It is good.
It is good.
It's good to where Veteran Bridge goes over. And there they have a yellow derailleur there to keep anybody from backing anything past that point. But from there up to, it goes up and it splits to go north and south, I guess. And there's no weeds growing there. The ties are pretty good. The rails are pretty good. It is in pretty good shape.
They could use it as a siding, then, maybe.
They could. Maybe work crews or something if they have drains in there. But I don't think they have, you know. We heard a rumor, and we wonder if something's going on in Norfolk Southern that's maybe thinking about selling it. Or, I don't know. South of that bridge, south of Veterans Bridge, it's vastly different. The ties are rotted. They're in bad shape. There's weeds and trees growing. And that's from there, from that bridge down to Mount Barlow is in bad shape.
But they own it.
The entire remaining right-of-way from Barlow down near the Freedom Trail is owned by Metro RTA. They started buying that in 1994 using federal funds from the Federal Transit Administration for the purpose of preserving the corridor for commuter rail. That was their plan when they started buying. Since then, they've explored commuter service, they've explored freight service, they made me take it out, but they've explored a dinner train, and they've explored trail opportunities, but they still have not yet determined the highest and best use. What's currently being discussed? Summit Metro Parks has had discussions with Metro RTA about the portion of the trail from Akron up to Springdale Road, so the lower half, more or less. Putting it on the track bed, not next to it. But before Metro RTA can commit to future use of that corridor, they need to get approval from FTA, since federal funds were used to purchase the rail line. Their worry is that if they okay, we gave up on rail, we're going to let it be a bike path, FTA might say, well, you got to put some money back. So
what is FTA?
Federal Transit Administration. They have national offices in Washington, and they have a regional office in Chicago. And Metro RTA is having a meeting with them to discuss this and many other things, I believe, but specifically this. To see what FTA says about using it for all-purpose travel. Hmm. So, how are we trying to fit into all of this? We'd like the entire Metro RTA, all the way up to Barlow, not stopping here, but the whole thing, to be converted to a trail on the track bed. For all these reasons of connectivity and connecting communities and the scenery that's available there, we think it just makes sense to do the whole thing. At Barlow Road, then, as I said before, you could get onto the new trail that they're building along Barlow Road, and the trail that's going to go up the west side of this golf course and into downtown Hudson. That construction is starting this fall.
This fall.
It's funded. They're ready to go. They just have to wait for the mats. The beauty of that is that eliminates the dependency on this Norfolk Southern piece. It could always be added later if there was an opportunity, but there's an alternate. It's being built already. Come down Barlow, go up here, and get right into Hudson. Then, when they do this other extension, you could connect on out here to the bike and hike and over to the tow path. So we believe this plan aligns completely with what we read in EMIS 2035. This map I showed on that one screen was taken. You've got to identify it as a future multi-purpose trail.
I think it's a great idea.
So we've already had some discussions with Summit Metro Parks about this. And two things came out of that. One is that they have offered to solicit letters of support from these communities. They say they do it all the time, and how to do it, it's an easy thing for them to do. They can get letters of support, submit those to Metro RTA, encouraging them to allow this to be a multi-purpose trail. Task Force can help gather more support from bike clubs and running clubs and trail users and add to the show of support. That will be submitted to Metro RTA asking them to consider converting an entire right-of-way to a bike and hike trail. If Metro RTA deems that this is the highest and best use of the land, and if FTA approval is granted, Summit Metro Parks has tentatively agreed to lease it all for trail purposes. They leased all the land for the Freedom Trail. They would be willing to create another lease for the Metro.
Lease to who?
To Summit Metro Parks. Summit Metro Parks would lease the land from Metro RTA.
Not acquired.
Not acquired.
That's what they did with the
Freedom Trail. They have a 50-year lease, no cost to the Metro Parks. They're allowed to build a trail on it, operate a trail on it, but it's just leased land at no cost.
What's the politics if they don't want to just give it to them instead of leasing it?
Federal Transit Administration gave Metro,
it's federal money, they can't sell it.
$14 million.
Same thing that happened to
Way back there, yeah.
It was something like that. By the time they added it, they had a bunch of separate earmarks, so by the time you total them all together, maybe it was that.
Metro can't sell it, and it's not even clear at this point that they can allow it to be used.
Right.
As a trail.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask. I hope it's in September. It's going to be in the fall sometime. So what we'll do is we'll continue to support this effort going forward in any way that we can. One important role we see is just being facilitators and communicators, going around to these different agencies in the cities and communicating, but they don't talk to each other. So we're out there saying, look, this is what they're doing, this is what they're doing. Yeah. The people we've talked to, Hudson, Stowe, Summit, they're all enthusiastic. Nobody's against this at all. They're very supportive.
Was this a Class 2 or a Class 3 railroad, weight-wise?
I don't know. It was built in 1851, so I'm guessing it's probably...
It's been obviously redone since then.
Yeah. The guy at engineering design said something about those rails are not welded rails, and they have restrictions on, I don't know, weight and speed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I show these questions?
I submitted a list of questions here, and AMATS would...
May I have your attention, please? The library will close in 20 minutes. Please make final selections now. Thank you.
I question really the need for all of this. Parts of it, yes. Because you really, for most of the section of it, duplicating what's on the bike and hike trail now. Once the Veteran Way's connection to Barlow down to the bike and hike trail, you can go from the bike and hike trail all the way down to just past Hudson Drive. And then the section between Hudson Drive and down in Silver Lake, Metro Parks has already got a plan, and they expect to get it done in the next couple of years, to connect that off roads. So now you've got a section
on this trail. Maybe you're talking about this section.
I think
this
it does.
Right here, probably.
I think it does involve the right of way that you're talking about. But I think they've already got that plan. At least that's what the planner said the last time I've had a talk with them. And then from there, you've got the problem of getting down into Akron, which is the problem you've got now. If you concentrated just on that section, you would really have what you've got, and you don't have to worry about whether you're getting the right of way or not, because it parallels.
Well, this, you're talking about this section down to Akron on the right of way.
Well, however they can do it. You know, and I agree, that would be a good use for the right of way for that, if they can do it. But if you get that section done, then basically you've got all the rest of it taken care of. So I don't need to see that we need to, you would need to go out and get all the right of way of the entire section from Hudson down if you've already got the alternative of the bike and hike trail.
Well, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Well, that would
be
fine.
I think it's just such a great opportunity.
My problem with that is that there's a limited amount of money for building bike trails. There's a limited amount of interest in getting it done. So if you take and put all your effort into that, you're not getting done some of these other trails that I think have a higher priority, because we don't have trails. We don't have any trails at all on the west side of the river for much of parts.
This is Puget Sound County trails from Summit Metro Parks, and these numbers are their priorities. Number one is completing the Freedom Trail. Number two is this trail going from Cavern Falls over to the towpath. Number three is down here by Wadsworth High School, which is on the west end. Number four.
And the other one is the connection, finished connection over on the Freedom, up to the Portage bike and hike.
Yeah.
The one we have to get on the road right now.
I'm not sure where four or five are, but.
Right where your hand is on.
This one is eight. Here's six. So, they have to be prioritized. We're going to do this next summer.
Well, I agree with that.
Long
but you know, if you make a big deal about it now, people are going to say, "We're going to why you didn't do that? You've got all these other things." If you just took that one section, which to me is the most important, from where the connection of the Freedom Trail to the connection from the bike and hike trail down to Akron, that was the one that I think really is the most needy, the most, which is what you're saying is on the map.
Yeah.
And I know, based on what we've had over the years that I've been down in here, the difficulty of getting new trails put in and getting people to agree to it is just something that, if you're going to do it, let's take the number one priorities and get those done first. And keep that in mind, because
yeah,
that all is...
Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot and lose this piece up here.
You're never going to lose it. You're always going to have that ability.
Let's get at least the whole thing and then we'll take it in pieces.
It only takes us 3 minutes to get out of here. Can't we use the rest of the 15 minutes to do this that he wants to do?
The questions you were talking about?
Yeah.
Give him 15 minutes. You can show the questions, but we had a discussion. Just seen these questions that he's going to show. Go ahead, you can bring them up here. And I just felt like because we had just seen these questions about an hour before this meeting, that it was a little unfair to expect AMATS to answer these five questions or six questions at this point. So it's a good discussion. It's a good discussion to have. We can continue the discussion at our next CIC meeting in June. But again, I don't think it was fair. Go ahead.
This started off with two questions and it's kind of kept getting more and more.
Go ahead. Because we're kind of running low on time, so we're going to open it up for business. So,
does AMATS agree that this plan aligns with their vision of a future for multi-purpose trails in this area?
And we'll take these back and discuss all these questions. As we get into the weeds.
Have any suggestions on what next steps we should be taking? For example, are we unaware of some critical issue that we don't know about here that you would tell us about? I don't know. That was a question. Does AMATS have any influence over the Metro RTA or the Federal Transit Administration? So, for example, would AMATS be willing to write a letter of support to Metro RTA saying, yes, we support a multi-use trail on that right of way?
I've done that verbally for about 15 years.
What about funding? What would your response be to funding requests for this project? That's a big
questions for Ron, because we're going to move on to open business and open it up to anything else.
Just one point, I think, Darrell, you guys have guys points to make that AMAS doesn't get involved with that until somebody presents a construction project. That's when they come into it. So
right.
You got to get all this other stuff done before you worry about what their response is going
to
be.
We had hoped to do an engineering study before the end of the year.
It's not just an engineering study. You got to have construction plans out before they're going to look at it. Am I right?
What we heard from someone is you have to have an engineering study done to request funds. Mm-hmm. We were hoping to do that by the February 1st deadline. Now with this issue with Federal Transit having to get that answer, what Valerie say, Shea says you got to push that back another funding cycle.
We'll have those discussions with Ron and Bill. We just have not had those discussions.
Right.
This was given to us almost, what, a week and a half ago? Mm-hmm. So again,
a week
ago. Yeah. And then the questions were presented to me an hour ago. So, okay. Does anybody have any other business that they wanted to discuss?
We don't have to pass any of these resolutions. You're going to end up.
No, none of the resolutions.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other topics? Anything that they want to discuss here very quickly?
I'll throw out another one since we were on this, and that is that one of my problems and concerns is that there's another organization coming up looking for funding for trails for bikes. There's the Everett Road bridge thing that's been out for 2 years, and ABC has been working at that. Nobody's pushing that. That's another one that needs to get done. It's going to help anything. So we've got the biking community has this vast distribution of people and interest. We don't have a central core here in Summit County that says, okay, here's our plans for Summit County. Let's get out and push these in whatever sequence we have. So you guys are going to go out and vote for support. Everett Road's out looking for support. We're looking at Metro Parks are looking for support for different things. We need a centralized place to get this
done. The closest thing to the central committee would be Summit Metro Parks.
They're not interested in all of the trails out in North. They're not interested in Everett Road.
They may not be interested in every project, but they've got 10 or 12 of them on there.
Oh, I understand that.
They're prioritizing.
But that's why, AMATS maybe is the people to do it because they've got a perspective for the whole area. But they're not equipped to handle that either. So it's really up to the bike community to do it.
To cycle. So that's a good discussion.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, we appreciate you presenting that to
us. Thanks for the opportunity.
For coming tonight, for having that.
Can I ask you one quick question? How many of these presentations have you given?
Well, pretty much that list that I put up there is the people we talked to.
Oh, okay.
This presentation, that's the first time it's been given.
I mean, I'm just curious, the presentation you gave tonight is the first time?
Yes.
You guys are virgins.
I mean, you were a test.
And it does fall in line with what we do, and I mean, it's not like you're out of my field.
No.
For anything, so.
Again, we need to, I think, further
discussion is need to have on our process and all that, as Fred had mentioned. And again, we can get into the weeds of those questions a little bit better. We have another CIC meeting here coming up in June.
So are your meetings monthly then?
No, our meetings are not monthly. We have every so often. It just so happened that we have the meetings in May and June. Then after June, we don't have one until September.
Okay.
And then after September, December is our next.
What's the date of the June meeting?
We can get those Junes. They might be
on the website.
June 20th is our TAC and CIC.
May I have your attention,
September 19th.
The library will close in 10 minutes.
But, yeah,
please check out your materials now.
And we have an annual meeting still?
Yeah. We have an annual meeting in October.
Yeah.
October 11th.
Always.
This year. Okay. Does anybody else have anything real quick?
Do you have any idea how much more money you're going to have to work with once the new budget goes through with the new tax?
With the new tax increase?
With
doing that?
You mean for the long-range plan?
Well, no, I'm just saying this. Last time we talked about the tax, the gas tax coming in, that would increase the amount of money you had to work with, but nothing's really good. I still got to pass, I guess, the budget. So.
Well, thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. Good night.